can't give you an update today. All I can say is that this is a very important event, one that we're working closely with Tennis Australia, and they in turn are speaking with their global partners, media partners, sponsors, and when we have an announcement to make, we'll make it. The good news, from December the 7th, we'll have just over 1,100 people coming back to Melbourne each and every week. That number will grow over time. When you put on top of that quarantine effort, the need to have many more than 1,000 people in direct connection with that event, that's not a simple thing. There is some complexity to that. We're working through those issues, and when we're ready to make an announcement, we will.
That is the Premier, Daniel Andrews, talking about the situation with the Summer of Tennis that may or not be going ahead as scheduled. And it's one of those check your local guide sort of situations. I wonder how Peter Johnston's feeling about all this, the tournament director of the Kooyong Classic, who's been good enough to join us on a Monday morning. Good morning, Pete.
Morning, Half. Yes, it's a very complicated situation at the moment, to say the least.
We've been listening to Premier Dan for months now, every day facing the media and answering questions about the whole COVID situation. But when it starts to affect your business and the Kooyong Classic and the Summer of Tennis, full stop, how fervent, how aggressive, how often are you in contact with the government trying to work out what the hell this looks like?
Well, in our case, the Kooyong Classic being sort of an independent and it's an exhibition, we actually cancelled a little while ago. I guess we took the trying to read the play and thought it's going to be really difficult in any circumstance to get players actually down to Kooyong, because I thought it was always going to end up being like a bubble type situation of players being unable to leave Melbourne Park. So in a way, what we did, we went and talked to the sponsors, we talked to SBS, Media Pro, our broadcast partner, and we just said, look, let's sit down this year and sit off this year and we'll extend another year. So we did that a little while ago, but I guess since then there's been so much happening just trying to work out. It all looked very safe and sound about 10 days ago, didn't it, with all the events moving to Melbourne. But now with this whole... The whole issue gets down to the quarantine, doesn't it? Like, you know, this issue of players having to quarantine for 14 days, what would that look like? Can they play tournaments? Can they practice? And any other event that's gone on around the world hasn't had the 14-day type quarantine. They've been playing either through quarantine or they've had quarantine exemptions. So that's what's the sticking point in this case.
Right.
Mm. Yeah, and so, Pete, the key reason... Hello, by the way. The key reason to have a chat to you is just that whole thing around quarantine and I guess the time of year anyway and all this sort of thing. How much of the players do they take into account, and how much of it is, well, this is how it's going to be, bad luck? How does it all work behind the scenes?
Well, look, this is, you really do have to strike the balance between all of the stakeholders. I think and take it back a step, Whitey, like each tournament that's gone ahead since the pandemic has had to really weigh up, can we financially do it? Can we do it without crowds? Like, we've just watched the London finals, Medvedev, great win actually, just beating team. But they played with no crowds. And the numbers still added up for them because they had the international broadcast rights, they had the rights from being at the city, etc. So every tournament's working that out. And part of it is considering what will players be comfortable with. Where it's netted out with the events that have gone ahead is there's been sort of, you've either played in a bubble, like very much the New York situation, the US Open, or you've gone into a country which didn't have quarantine that allowed you to safe passage in and then passage out. So, you know, you've got to balance all this. And when you talk about, at the moment, I've seen a lot of discussion about date change. Gee, it's hard to unravel. It's hard to move on the tour calendar, because every time you move, you're going to bump someone off. And, you know, this is that means you have to consider, say, let's say, for example, if the Australian Open moved 2 weeks later, you've got a tournament in Rotterdam, you've got a tournament in St. Petersburg, Russia, the women's event. Boy, you know, they're not going to want to move. So you have to have that sort of discussion and negotiation to try and get that to happen.
Yeah, so, it's fascinating. Go, Rama, sorry.
So, yeah, Peter, so what's your belief then around the quarantine exemptions? Do you think that is possible to get the Australian Open away. What are they doing in London at the moment? Were the players that played in the season-ending championship, were they exempt from quarantining over there in London? What's the case at the moment, and what's your belief that should happen for them coming into the Australian Open?
Well, yeah, they were in a bubble. They stayed in a hotel very close to the O2 Arena. It was just, it's really just hotel courts with tight transport between the two. You can't go down. You can't go downtown. I mean, London's in lockdown, so it just stays really tight. So, but they have been able to play tennis, and the same happened in New York. They moved the Cincinnati tournament to New York the week before the US Open, but players played the tournament. They went back to the hotel. If they crossed the line, even on the precinct, they were kicked out of the tournament. There was, so for here at the Australian Open, I don't see that players, that it's an acceptable situation for quarantine to mean you're in your hotel room and you can't open your window for 14 days. There has to be some sort of ability to hit some balls, and also you have to be able to, I think, play at least one event. And it can be all at Melbourne Park and you can't leave the hotel or the courts, but I think unless that happens, it becomes a little unrealistic.
We talked, Pete, earlier this morning about also just the geography of it all, but might it get to a point where some of the top players go, you know what, look, it's a long way to go, away from family and friends for Christmas, having to quarantine, all this sort of thing. It might just be too hard. Is that a genuine fear if they don't move it?
I don't think so. The reason I say it, first of all, I think they trust Australia very well. And Australia is like a poster child for a number of cases. And, you know, some of them are in, or many of them are in countries with high numbers. The second part is, it's actually, there's been so long. The women's tour, so many tournaments were cancelled in the second half of the year. The girls need to play. And they've played since the French Open. They've played one tournament in Austria, which was like 250 grand prize money. They want to make a living. And so, and the men's, well, you know, we've seen this, the men's, we've limped along pretty well in the men's, but they, you know, there will be tournaments fall over at the beginning of the year as well. So they're thinking, gee, a slam, big money, look, I'll have to suck it up. It's a long way. Mind you, it is tricky to get down here at the moment. It's not like you just go on, trips.com or whatever and just book your flight into Melbourne. It's so tricky. So you've got a lot of this stuff, but I think the hunger will be there from both men's and women's. If it's game on, the players will come.
We've talked through the year, Pete, about some of the sports in Australia. Now, they're domestic sports, so it's slightly different scenarios, but there's been exemptions, sort of almost high-performance exemptions, given to some sports to get active and to make sure they complete their seasons. Has that been discussed with the government about exemptions for these tennis players? You talk about the quarantine where they're locked in their room and not being able to hit balls. That makes no sense whatsoever. Surely, if there's going to be anything, they've got to have access to facilities.
Well, Harvey, I think you hit the nail on the head. Every tournament that's gone ahead, there's been some form of governmental input into it, which has generally been an exemption. I know I did the ATP event in Russia, in St. Petersburg. There was a situation where providing you produced a COVID-friendly plan, the players were allowed in without the quarantine. They were in a bubble, like they couldn't leave the hotel, etc. But so that's, I'm sure Tennis Australia are proposing that to the government. And look, Tennis Australia will bend over backwards, and you can bet that their plan will be as watertight as it can possibly be. But it will need the government to actually go, yep, okay, we feel comfortable with that. There's a lot at stake for everyone with that. But yeah, you have to get some sort of relaxation on the existing rule to make it viable.
Pete, I know you said you called it early on the Kion Classic to cancel for the year, but was there any thought on just having an Australian Open Kion Classic? I imagine now a lot of the Australian players will be coming back, or they already are in Australia, Ash Barty being obviously one of those that hasn't travelled much this year. Was there any thought there? Because borders look like they're opening slowly here to the rest of the country. You can get into Victoria, obviously, anytime you like now from interstate.
There was a lot of thought that went into it, and that was certainly one of the consideration. I think we just ultimately thought, gee, like the business model of Kooyong, you know, it's one thing to have the players, but secondly, you've got to be able to sell tickets. You've got to be able to sell a few corporate boxes because it's a good corporate event. And there was a lot of things that weren't adding up. And also the broadcasters, they tended to want, like a lot of our money there is tied up with the international rights, actually. And so they would tend to want international content. So you sort of have to weigh all that up. Having said that, I think the Australian summer, if it all goes, or when it goes there, and I think it will, massive opportunity for the Aussies because, you know, they've been here and they're ready, and I think the cut-offs will drop a little bit. There may be a situation with Australian Open where qualifying's cut. This will all create opportunities for Aussie players, and Aussies should be, you know, having lots and lots of practice matches right now in the lead-up to be a step ahead of everybody else.
Yeah, it's a good chance as any to get ahead of the pack, so to speak, in the world of tennis if you are, in fact, in Australia, getting ready for whatever it might look like, Pete. And we wish you the best of luck trying to sort that out the next little while. Good luck to you. Appreciate your time as always.
Thanks, guys.
Peter Johnston, tournament director of the Kooyong Classic, but director of tournaments across the globe too, and knows plenty about it. And they've got a challenge on their hands, seemingly, because I would have thought the exemptions, Whitey, would have been a no-brainer.
Yeah, well, that's why I was really keen to talk to Pete, because it's not just the Kooyong Classic, but he's done tournaments around the world as a tournament director, so he understands what goes on behind the scenes, and it still seems to be a lot that needs to be done.
The interesting part, Half, is how long as a tennis player you can continue to spend in a bubble. Like, if you're going from tournament to tournament to tournament, and yep, your life's in a bubble, how enjoyable is it for you?
No, it can't be that much fun, I wouldn't have thought.
But they've got to also make money, Raman. We've talked to John Millman about this, that you can, it comes to a point where you've actually got to go and force yourself to go to places you don't want to necessarily have to go to, because you've got to earn money. And at the end of the day, everybody will be in the same boat when it comes to preparation